all of our hearts are drawn together, thinking about the promises that had been made in the Bible that were fulfilled with the coming of Jesus and the beginning of his ministry. And, of course, everything through to his death. Now, the play is going to be dealing with that, and it's really great because what's going to be done this Sunday is we're going to have everything projected. So you'll be able to both hear the actors and actresses, and for some of them, I understand this may be their debut. So you'll be able to listen to them. And there is a list that will be handed out afterwards of 64 prophecies about Jesus that appear in the Old Testament, or as we need to say when we're with our Jewish friends, the Tanakh. This is going to be available afterwards, but you won't be able to read it during the service first because you're going to be watching the little ones up here, or they're not little ones. They are. Some of them are really big ones. Some of them, you know, just starting out, but they're going to be up here, and we're going to darken the lights so that you can read the screen better. Okay. But Brother Chris has been working real hard, and he got this list together. I think, Chris, do we give you credit for this list?
No, this is actually...
Okay, Sister Sherrell, thank you for your hard work. And somehow I sort of suspect that this came from your workplace. Anyway, having said that, let's just review a few of the very promising texts. We're told in Genesis 26, 1-5, that he would be a descendant of Abraham's son, Isaac. We find out from Micah 5, 2, that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And we know that everybody at this time was excited about the prospect of the deliverer coming, the Messiah, based on the days of Daniel. And that's going to come out in the play that's going to be presented. We know certainly that when Herod said, well, where is he going to be born? They knew Micah 5:2, he'd be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7 tells us that he was going to be born of a virgin. We find out that, and I'm just picking on a few of the scriptures that talk about his character, that Isaiah 42 said he would be humble and meek. He would be called the Son of the Most High, we learn from Psalm 2. He would be entering Jerusalem late in his ministry. On the foal, the colt, a foal of an ass. We find out that the scriptures promise that he would be despised and rejected of men, that he would be oppressed, but he would be silent before his accusers. All of these scriptures were fresh in the mind of our Lord, and these were guiding his every step in his ministry. So having said that, I would like to bring the actors and actresses up here who are going to be performing. Let's get the text up. We're at 30 A.D. Okay, so in your mind's eye, we're going to be moving back to that period here. And I see some of the... Some props have already disappeared. First, I would like you to tell us, what are you playing, one or two parts?
One.
One? What yeah. part are you playing?
Johanna.
Johanna. You want to tell us just a little bit about Johanna?
Well, she's a girl at the well, and her brother
met Jesus, and she was pretty surprised.
Is this your acting debut? No. Okay, so you're seasoned.
I play Elizabeth, and she's another girl at the well who's asking Johanna, like, about what her brother saw at the wedding he went to.
Okay. Thank you.
I play Jacob, and I'm the kid who...
So you kind of go, you're a kid? Or are you...
So I'm the kid who met the... Who met Jesus. So I was talking with the prophets, I think, to find out what it meant and stuff.
And I see you're wearing a bow tie for this performance. Now, would most of the young children at the time have been wearing bow ties, you think? Okay, thank you. That is truly an impressive beard. You know, I used to have a beard too, but it wasn't anything like that, or I'd still have it.
So I am one of the scholars that he goes to.
So is the beard part of the scholar presentation?
Yeah.
We forgot him.
I don't know.
Okay. So you're a scholar?
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll find out. Can you tell us a little bit? Give us a preview of your part. What are you going to be telling? What are you going to be talking about?
Well, me and him are going to be disagreeing about, like, stuff.
Absolutely what scholars do. Okay. You must be another scholar.
Yeah, I'm a nurse scholar. So I'm Reuben, the other scholar, and... As Jack said, we're disagreeing. It's mostly about, like, is Jesus the Messiah or not?
Okay. We will be looking and listening carefully to your scholarly discussion when it emerges. Thank you. Now he looks more like a scholar because he's got glasses.
I'm Benjamin. And one of the angels. I'm Jacob's friend.
Okay. You're Jacob's friend. You get to play two parts.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to be... Are you going to change between parts? Or
no.
Are you going to see the same way?
Same way.
Same. Okay. And your sister is playing...
Say angel.
An angel.
Okay, we will. We'll be. I think this may be your debut as an angel. So, okay, thank you. And Naomi, what are you going to be?
An angel.
Okay, you're an angel. Okay, thank you.
I'm Daniel and Jeremiah, and I'm prophets. I'm two of them. Yep.
Okay, so you get to, and we will expect your dramatic persona to change between your presentations so that we don't get confused.
I'm Micah, and I'm another prophet.
Thank you.
I am Isaiah and Moses, the being two prophets.
Okay, Isaiah and Moses, both those are two important prophets, and... Last but not least, tell us who you are, Chip.
I'm the prophet Hosea.
Okay. And are you going to have a prophecy about Jesus? Probably. Okay. Okay, good. So now you have met the actors, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll give you
Good morning, Johanna.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
It's a beautiful sunny day today. Why are you so serious?
Something happened yesterday, and I can't stop thinking about it. My brother went to the wedding, and he told us something very unusual.
And what happened?
You know my brother. He hears everything he's not supposed to hear. He was listening to the servants talking, and they said that there was no more wine. You know what a shame that is? For the father not to provide enough wine for his own child's wedding? It would have been a scandal. A man was there, and he made wine out of water. My brother's over there. He can tell you the details. Jacob, I need your help. I was telling Elizabeth about this strange thing that happened at the wedding. Can you tell her the details?
Sure, Elizabeth. It was so strange and amazing. There were lots of people there and more than the family expected. The servants were talking about not having any more wine. I heard them talking with a woman named Mary from Nazareth. She called over her son and asked him to do whatever he said. His name was Jesus. He said something really strange. He said, "My hour has not yet come." I was just talking with my friend Benjamin about those words. I wonder what he meant. Does he have a plan to do something big? What is his hour and what will it mean for us?
And then he did the most amazing thing. He told the servants to fill up the jugs used for bath water. Those things are huge. I couldn't believe it when he told them to take that water and give it to the master of the feast. I thought he would get beaten when the master lifted up the cup and took a sip. I was sure he was going to spit out the water and yell at the servant for being so disrespectful as to bring him water instead of wine. But he didn't. Instead, he said it was the best wine of all. I was sure to drink some after that because I knew where it came from.
How did it taste? I never drank bath water.
It wasn't bath water, Elizabeth. It was really the best wine I'd ever tasted. It was sweet and good.
We are on our way to talk with the scholars and see if maybe there is some kind of prophecy about the wine and what it means. I am sure they will know. They are always studying.
Simeon, I just don't know what to think. The scholars are all talking about the Messiah. We have Daniel's prophecy, you know.
A period of 70 sets of seven have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 72 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem, and a ruler, the anointed one, comes. Jerusalem will be built streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times.
What does that mean?
Scholars have been discussing this for years. Scholars have been discussing this for years. Daniel tells us about 70 sets of seven. So it is the number of years in the Sabbath cycle. Since this anointed one did not come after 70 Sabbath weeks, he must be coming after 70 Sabbath years, which would be 490 years from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem.
It sure seems that the time is right for Messiah to come. We thought it was John the Baptist, but he said it wasn't him. There was someone coming after him, but who might it be?
Who is the anointed one?
That would be the Messiah.
And what will that mean for us?
It means an end to our rebellion from God, an end to our sin against him, an atonement for our guilt, a bringing of righteousness, and an end to Rome.
From your lips to God's ears.
Did you hear what happened at the wedding again?
Yes, it is another sign. John Baptist is touching people's hearts with the feeling of their own sin and helping them repent. It is also a sign. I wonder if there are any other prophecies about this Messiah. Yes, there are many. For example, Micah tells us that the Messiah will come from Bethlehem.
But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all of the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past.
Simeon, the scriptures say that he will come from Egypt. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son.
Could Messiah possibly come from Nazareth?
Of course not. What good thing could possibly come from Nazareth?
Not so fast, Reuben. You know the prophecies of Isaiah in which he said a Nazar will bear fruit, and Nazar is the root name of Nazareth.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a Nazar will bear fruit.
And some of my favorite scholars have wondered if Isaiah's prophecy of the suffering servant is not a prophecy about the Messiah. You know that Nazarenes are despised and rejected.
He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care.
My dear Simeon, don't be a fool. You know Messiah must come from the line of David. He must be a king. He will be born into a royal family and will be a great general. He will get rid of those Roman invaders that desecrate our land.
My dear Reuben, I do not know these things. I only know those things that the prophets have told us. They do not tell us much about his wealth and education. They tell us more about his sacrifice and that he will bring us to repentance and righteousness.
And what do we really know about Messiah and where he will come from?
We know that he will come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because a promise went through him.
A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will arise from Israel.
Actually, we know he will come from Judah's line.
The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all the nations will honor.
Better than that, Jeremiah tells us that he's to come through a line of Jesse and even of David.
For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom and will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety.
Do you know anything about Jesus of Nazareth?
You call him Jesus of Nazareth, but I know he was actually born in Bethlehem at the time of the census. I hear there were some strange happenings in Bethlehem around the time of his birth. My cousin was a shepherd there, and he said they were watching their sheep at night, as shepherds always do. Suddenly, there was a bright light, and an angel spoke to them, he said.
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
My cousin and the rest of the shepherds were terrified and then fascinated as a whole choir of angels sang.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
They went to Bethlehem, and the baby was lying in the manger. This was the same Jesus of Nazareth. It happened 30 years ago, but he was never forgotten. The other event was a very sad event, which happened in Bethlehem not too much later. It appears some magi had come to worship a new king, and they told King Herod. In his jealousy and anger, he killed all the babies from 2 years old and under.
That's terrible.
What is really odd about this is Jeremiah prophesied centuries ago.
A cry is heard in Ramah, deep anguish and bitter weeping. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for her children are gone.
Don't tell my dear friend Reuben, but there are many things I do not understand. There are prophecies which appear to be fulfilled, but they do not match our expectations. I have done much thinking about what to believe about this Jesus. There is something different about him, and so far he is fulfilling the prophecies. But there are many more prophecies about the Messiah. We must wait and watch to see if, like his cousin John, is just a voice crying in the wilderness, or if he is truly the Messiah.
Simeon, my friend, how can we be wrong? We have the Torah, the prophecies, and the traditions to teach us what to believe. Are you doubting the prophets?
No, Reuben, just the traditions. I will wait and see what this Jesus does next.
I have heard many things today and have a lot to think about.
I'm not a scholar, but I can tell you there's no power in the Jesus of Nazareth. He was calm, but he spoke with authority and knew what he was doing. And there was the miracle.
He seems to fulfill all the prophecies about his birth. I tingled up my spine when I heard of the angel chorus. That doesn't even happen for the birth of kings.
Do you think it is possible that we're living in the time of the promised Messiah? It's almost too wonderful to be true. I wonder what Simeon and Reuben meant when talking about the Messiah possibly being different than our expectations.
I don't know what they meant, but I'm willing to believe and to watch.
Me too.
Before I lay me down to rest, I ask the Lord one small request. I know I have all I could need, but this prayer is not for me.
Too many people on this day don't have a peaceful place to stay. Let all fighting cease, that your doubt and may see peace. Wipe the tears of sorrow away.
To believe in a day when hunger and war will pass away. Counted that you hear each cry and listen to each prayer.
Let me try always to believe that you can heal the hearts that grieve.
Please help us not ignore the anguished cries of the poor, or their pain will never leave.
To believe in a day when hunger and war will pass away. To have the hope amidst despair, that every sparrow's counted, that you hear each cry and listen to each prayer.
Father, as you see, I'm just a child, and there's so much to understand. But if your grace should surround me, then I'll do the best I can. I promise I'll do the very best I can.
To believe in a day when hunger and war will pass away. To have the hope amidst despair, that every sparrow's counted,
that you hear each cry and listen to each prayer. Help us do your will, O Father, in the name of all that's true. And we'll see in one another the loving image of you.
Well, thank you all, and thank you for the hard work that went into making this such a blessing for us. And thank you all the keyboard artists, and thank you, Justin, on the guitar. Thank you for Sebastian, you're a good singer. We are going to have Joy to the World projected on the screen. I'm told, you can see that only 5 of the verses, not all 12. However, when this is being sung, the picture of the young of the children's group is going to be distributed in the audience. So thinking about the logistics of this, what I'd like to do is I'm going to have our brother Chris Nupchinski close our day with prayer, but stay seated right where you're at. We're going to do the singing, and the pictures will be passed around. So, Brother Chris.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are humbly approaching the throne of your grace, and we want to thank you as a family in the Lord, a family in our Lord Jesus, for this time that we could have together here today. And this extended time helps us relate better to one another and appreciate the fellowship that we can have through the bonds of love and through the knowledge of your wonderful word, the scripture, and the prophecies. And we are so grateful that you have set up this framework of this information to be passed down to us, that we can appreciate it now and see how these words were fulfilled in your Son and our Lord Jesus. And may this great truth, the great joy that will be to all people, be soon a part of everyone's full knowledge and give them joy and peace and assurance of your wonderful character. And we thank you for the dear children who have worked hard to present this to us, and may your Spirit be upon them. May each of them, through the years ahead, be guided and directed in through your word, through the mutual support that they have from one another and their parents and all of us. May we be a blessing, and may we continue to grow in grace and knowledge. All these things we pray, mindful of those who are not with us today, those who are sad. May you encourage and comfort them. All these things we pray in our dear Savior's name. Amen.
Okay, brethren, so we're going to be singing Joy to the World, and the children are going to be distributing some things. And one of you, let's see, could you just... Okay. So you start. That's your job. Okay. Extra credit on verse 12 if you can sing it in Latin.
Okay. I'm playing the music here also.
Okay. Get out there. I have my Luciano Pavarotti disc out for the season. Okay. Can we get the Joy to the World?
Thank you.
Go in peace, brethren.